Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Is the NFL too soft? 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Some people reacting to that little aside I had about music earlier. Some 30th anniversaries, Nirvana's Nevermind, and Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory. And I talked about how Tribe would be in my holy trinity of hip-hop groups. Paul Grice tweets in, agree about Tribe at Wu-Tang. Check out this 36 Chambers rhymes laid over Low End Theory. Beats, Good Energy 10 says Low End or Sucker Free 1012 is his handle. Low End Theory was an absolute classic, Wu-Tang Clan for life. Midnight Marauders is my favorite Tribe album. But if I were to like power rank the groups in hip-hop history, the reason I say the top three, and you could say Outkast is a duo, but I'm counting them as a group, Outkast, Tribe, and Wu, are a combination of musical output and cultural footprint. Like, there are other groups. N.W.A. has a case to be in that group as far as like cultural impact, but I don't think they produced enough music as a group or good enough music as a group. They launched iconic acts, of course, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, you know. There's other great groups throughout hip-hop history. The Fugees just got back together this week, and if you think about The Score, that's one of the biggest albums ever. And then The Carnival, Wyclef's first solo was great. Lauryn Hill, obviously The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was great, but as a group they didn't make that much music. Run DMC, they're pioneers. They still got stuff that would rock to this day. The Roots, I mean, there are so many. Public Enemy, Beastie Boys, The Lox, I mean, great hip-hop groups, right? EPMD, Mobb Deep, 3-6 Mafia, just plenty more I could, De La Soul. But Tribe, Wu-Tang, and Outkast. Outkast is innovative. You know, they evolved. They have great classic albums. They push the boundaries. Wu-Tang Clan, kind of like a movement unlike we've ever seen. And from a group standpoint, Enter the 36 Chambers is a classic. Wu-Tang Forever has bangers on it. And that first run of solo albums, like the RZA, was just in a zone. And Tribe, you know, classic albums, and also paved the way for people that came after them, like The Roots, like a Kanye. So those are part of the reasons I would put those three as the greatest groups ever. As far as the NFL being soft goes, you know, it's funny because, look, I think there's two things that contribute to that. One is the NFL had to do something to adjust safety concerns. You know, you always just like common sense would tell you that playing tackle football was dangerous. I remember when I was growing up, I played soccer and basketball, ran track. But when I was in high school, I was strong. Like, I'm not trying to brag. I just was like on. And I wish I wasn't, because I wish I didn't do this stupid stuff that I did in high school when it came to lifting, because my shoulder still hurts from like my high school, college time. From, you know, I was, why would you max out on the bench? Like, I don't know what I was doing. I would rep with like 225 on the bench, and I would max out with like 300 on the bench. And the torque that that put on my shoulder, I don't lift weights anymore because I try to use natural resistance, body weight resistance, because of like some of the injuries I sustained. But the torque from, you know, think about your shoulder joint just trying to, I'm like a kid and bench pressing 300 pounds, stupid. What am I gaining? Cool points? You know, trying to be macho? I still don't understand why I did it. Nevertheless, the weightlifting coach, because I was in weightlifting class, was the football, weightlifting teacher was the football coach. So he was trying to get me to play football because, you know, I was strong. And I thought about it because being on the football team is cool, right? And I remember one day I'm running laps for soccer and they were doing like basically the Oklahoma drill. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. And so common sense would tell you that. But over the years, of course, there have been more information. We've learned about CTE. We've learned about the damage repetitive head trauma can cause. So the NFL has done things to make the game as safe as the, you know, you can't, seatbelts make car crashes safer, but car crashes cannot be made safe. Same thing goes for tackle football, right? They've done what they can to make it safer. It can never be made fully safe. And let's be real, there's a part of that sport, the draw to the violence. I mean, that's part of it. There's like an inherent nature some of us have of wanting to see violence or liking violence. I mean, I remember when they used to run highlight packages of Jacked Up or whatever, the biggest hits. That has been taken out a little bit. And what has replaced that, in a sense, the big plays, right? So you take the combination of trying to make the game safer, which is legislating out some of the hits, and the fact that fans like scoring, and you see the product you have now. Because fans are playing fantasy football, right? Like, nobody's on their fantasy football team is paying that much attention to their defense, at least in the sense of that's how they wish fantasy football games would go. They'd be defensive battles. Nobody wants that, right? I mean, I know you have a defense you pick up, and some people even do that weekly, depending on matchups, blah, 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 blah. But offense is what sells there. And the game has gone in that direction too, which is only a natural byproduct of trying to make it safer. So now you have a more wide open game. It's very similar to the NBA, in fact. The NFL and the NBA, the evolution of both, the space of it has become what is emphasized more than anything else. Which is, you know, what has that affected? It's up the scores. Obviously, it makes it tougher for the defense. It's made the running back position more irrelevant because your running back needs to be able to catch the ball to totally be effective, or the running game is less of an emphasis. But, you know, sometimes I also just think people want to hear themselves complain. Because I heard that about the taunting. You hear that about the NFL being soft. I mean, Tom Brady did say it's softer this week, so you do have a pretty good person backing you up, if that's the case you want to make. But at the same time, everybody's watching it every week. And everybody's calling in here and talking about it every week. So are you really that upset about it? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jared in New Mexico. Jared, you're up on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's up?
Good morning. I don't, as a fan, I don't really care if they taunt or if they don't taunt. I don't even care about the topic as far as that goes. What I care about, I care about the topic, but what I'm saying is I'm indifferent because I don't think that's really the make or break thing that people aren't talking about. What's really obvious that nobody ever talks about because it's hush hush is in the NFL or the NBA or even Major League Baseball now, a player within 5 years can have a more net worth than the owner. That's a problem long term. The product will deteriorate over
time. Wait,
hold on.
Two things.
Yeah, yeah.
One.
You're going to correct me, but.
No, that's not true. But that's not true. Which player has more net worth than any owner in the NFL? That's just false on its face.
You're telling me LeBron James or Tom Brady can't buy an NFL team, and you're telling me LeBron James.
I'm telling you Tom Brady does not have more net worth than the owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm telling you that LeBron James.
does not have. Saying.
Well, no, that is what you said. It is what you said. Okay. Reacting off what you said.
Look
and then
the
two,
net worth of two. All the owners, and you tell me that Tom Brady or LeBron James, for example, don't have a net worth of any of the owners. You're wrong.
No, I don't believe they do. But. One, if they did, why would that be a problem? Two, I guess that's two. Why would that be a problem? Why would it be a problem? Why should the owner get to have more net worth than the player? Why is it a problem if the player reaches the same status as the owner? That, like, if the owner is a higher, are we in a caste system?
Okay, you're asking the question. My answer is, what do we all like every weekend right now? We're enjoying watching Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. The talent's old, bro. The talent's old. The good talent is old.
Patrick Mahomes is old?
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
How much does he get paid? What's his contract? To my point, what's his contract?
Patrick Mahomes' contract?
Yeah.
I believe he signed a 10-year, $503 million contract or something like that.
$503 million at the end of 10 years. If he's invested correctly, you're telling me he won't have a net worth equal to or greater than any of the owners.
I'm not saying
years.
It's not possible. I'm
okay.
saying they don't. I'm
but,
saying
but
they don't. And two, why is that a problem? I mean, you pay to watch Tom Brady play and LeBron James play. Do you want to watch? Who is the owner of the – tell me who the owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is.
I have no idea.
Okay,
don't
so
the,
why would it
guy.
Be a problem if Tom Brady made more money than that guy?
There's
like, I just
– I don't have a personal problem. I'm cool with it, whatever. But the point is the incentive isn't there. You're there to – that's why Aaron Rodgers is pulling the stuff that he pulled in the off season. The product is deteriorating, and for the whole sports community to act like, oh, we're going to talk about this but not that, is bogus. Yeah, we're all betting on the games and we're having fun because that's what it is. But a college game is better. You're telling really. So you're
yes,
telling me someone out of college comes onto a pro team, they make killer money, like two of, right? And then he gets injured. He's set. It's done. It's over. What's the incentive to be a pro?
Pride, professionalism, competitive nature. You think these guys get – the pro game to me is better simply because the players are better. And it's a higher quality. So that's why I prefer it. If you prefer college, that's fine. I'm not, dissing that. But I've had that argument about basketball so many times over the years. And I think the NBA is a vastly superior product to college basketball. The product on the court. The packaging of March Madness is great and all that, and pomp and circumstances, if you like that, fine. But as far as the level of play, it's night and day. It's not even close. And the same goes for my problem. College football games last too long, for my taste, with the stopping of the game for every first down and everything like that. But no, I don't believe because players are being compensated, it is lowering the quality of the product. I disagree with that. And in the NFL, I could argue that they need to make more money. As popular as the NFL is, and as relatively speaking, low paid as NFL players are compared to their contemporaries in other sports, I mean, that has to do with roster size. There are other factors involved there, but NFL players are chewed up and spit out.
You're burying
out.
Your head in the sand.
In what
sense?
If you
got a raise tomorrow times 10, whatever your salary is, and you bank that for 3 years, you're going to work year four and year five? Tell the truth.
That's not why I'm, I'm not even thinking about money when I'm doing the job. I don't even think about it. Money's not important to me in that sense. Like, do I want to make more money? Sure, of course. I want more convenience. I want more security for my family. I would love to make more money. But you think the amount of money I'm being paid is impacting my performance? I don't think so. I don't think that's been it's been relative that way. I don't think... The more I've gotten paid, the worse I've gotten. No.
Bank account, not the rings. I could. Tom Brady at some point or whomever.
Tom Brady just won another Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is new players coming up. Once they bank and they have a bank of $100 million or $80 million. There's no pride. The pride is.
But Tom Brady, what are you talking? How can you make that point? That doesn't even make any sense. You know how much money Tom Brady has banked, and he's still going for it. I mean, thanks for the call, but that doesn't make any sense. Your argument falls apart on its face if you're bringing up Tom Brady. Tom Brady's 45 years old, got hundreds of millions of dollars. His wife is rich. His wife has more money than he does. And he's still competing trying to win Super Bowls. So I don't understand your argument. It just sounds like hating, to be honest. You don't like the fact that, you know, these guys make so much money and maybe you don't make as much money. I would assume. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know you. But for the most part, it's a general assumption that the average person who's speaking on this show is making less than the average player in the NFL. But I don't think it's a problem. And I also don't know why in the world it would be a problem that they would, you know, approach ownership money. I don't think anybody should have as much money as these owners have. You know, I know we live in like a capitalist society and everything, but like, come on. I guess, for me, it's just like, I don't see the difference between $100 million and $10 billion. Like, to me, there's no difference there. Once you get to a certain level of wealth, it is what it is. There's no, you know, there's no gap at that point. The gap is with the people who are making that money and the people who are getting paid $15 an hour. 855-212-4227. Is the NFL soft now? 855-212-4227. Tom Brady's saying that because of, you know, he's benefited the most from that. But he's saying that because of the hits and stuff when he's saying it's softer than it used to be. And by that measure, yes, it is softer. But the game has evolved as well. The game has evolved. I mean, who knows what it will become? Flag football is obviously getting bigger because kids, my son included, are playing flag football rather than tackle football. And that's just a natural evolution of knowing the safety risks. But the game, I mean, did you prefer lower score? Did you prefer a 16-13 game or a 35-31 game? That's a matter of preference. Like I said before, I also have to get to the big story out of the NBA that has to do with one of the league's most high-profile teams. But really, it's not an NBA story as much as the city that team resides in that is making this a story. I will get to that. I also get to you at 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Tribe Called Quest. You know, whenever I'm asked to test my mic in this business, I always say, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business. Every time. That's my mic check. RIP Fife. You can test your mic or your phone line at 855-212-4227. Like Rick and Charlotte. Rick, how you sounding, man?
Hey, big guys, man. Love your show. Love what I'm hearing. Play five, coach 30. I'm trying to put a lot into a little bit. I don't think it's soft. I was one of those guys, and I thought it was soft. You know, I came up in the 80s playing ball, watching. You know, it's just one of those things where it's the gladiator rule when I was out there. You know, the league is trying to take away the kill shots. They're trying to take away the targeting. You know, these guys, when we played out there, look, you know, we all knew that, hey, we got to go to class the next day. We all got to go to work the next day. You know what I mean? You're trying to take away the targeting. You're trying to take, you know, targeting, yeah, I think that may have, that's gotten subjective, but something that's just excitement of the game, you know. You know, but for safety reasons and things like that, man, I don't think it's getting too soft. I think there are some reachers every now and then, but you try to take away the dirty hits. You know, the spinning halos, like, you know, back in the day. You know, the gut punches. You know, things like that. You try to take away that the extracurricular when the guy is down. You know, you got a quarterback baseball slide. You really don't need to touch him. He's on his way down. You know what I mean? But I do see where, you know, but what we as fans got to understand is this, you know, when you see something at slow motion, game speed is a lot different than slow motion. You know, they're like, you know, you can do Mozart's Fifth Symphony, you know, when it's slow motion, you know what I'm saying? It all looks good. But, you know, I think, you know, in the end game, I don't think it's soft. I think anybody who's actually played the game knows how light speed it can be. You know, anything can happen. And you know, the league just trying to take away some of the extracurricular out there. And that's just my point. As far as the taunting thing, I remember the Icky Shuffle was a big thing. You know, that's the world on his head. Like, what's the game going to? But I do think some of that celebrations, you know, they do go over the top. You know, you don't need Uncle Festa and Uncle Louie and clear the whole bench and everybody goes looking at the camera in the end zone. I think, you know, yeah, let me give you a little flag, you know.
But, well, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. The flags are, from my understanding, when you're directing it at an opponent, that's when they're really throwing the flag. But the word soft has such a negative connotation. Of course, the NFL is softer in the sense of, you know, they've had to make adjustments due to what we've learned about player safety and what we've learned about, you know, the dangers of the sport. So is that soft or smart? And then the game has also evolved into a wide-open, high-scoring game, which fantasy football players, I'm sure, like that, right? Like, and fantasy football is as big a driving force of the NFL's popularity as, you know, almost anything. It's up there. I mean, it's in the mix. So, I just, when you say soft, you come off like you're slandering or wanting to be so negative. And Tom Brady, you know, like, again, it's helped him. Tom Brady, I don't know if he'd be playing at the level that he's currently playing at if the game was the same way it was when he first entered it, too. You know, if you're going to say one day it'll be flag football, maybe it will one day be flag football. I mean, that's also a possibility. But I don't think it's really impacted people's viewing habits or enjoyment of the game. So sometimes I just think people like to complain, honestly. Chris in Youngstown, Ohio. Chris, you're up on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Robin? I love the show.
Thank you, man.
I just wanted to touch on with that Jared guy. I think that's what his name was from New Mexico was saying. Like, I don't understand. I'm with you. I don't understand why it's a problem for him that one day a player could someday buy a team. But I don't know the numbers offhand, but I'm pretty sure the Timberwolves just sold for like $2 billion plus some. Might have been $3 billion. But, and I just heard today that Tom Brady has a net worth with Giselle, and it's only like $700-800 million. So I don't know what that guy's thinking, where these athletes are getting ownership on it, because it's a different level for sure.
It was $1.5 billion was the sale of the T-Wolves and I believe the Lynx as well. But, yeah, $1.5 billion.
Yeah, and for the whole softer thing, I also agree with you. I think it's evolution. The game's safer. Therefore, things, if you make things safer, things get softer no matter what you do in life. Like, it's a safety issue now. Limiting the head injuries. Hopefully, guys can live longer when they retire. I mean, I think it's a good thing for the game. And like you, I don't want to watch a 13 – I don't know if you might want to, but I don't want to watch a 13-10 game every week. I'd rather see Mahomes and Justin Herbert airing out on each other, which hopefully happens on Sunday.
Yeah, like, look, those games are fun sometimes, but it's just like I say this in basketball, and I'd have to do the same for football now. You watch a game now, and then you watch a game from the past, and you tell me that the past was played at a higher level. That doesn't jive with common sense, right? Like, the athletes evolved, the game evolved, they're faster, they're stronger, they're more skilled, all these things. Is the way it's officiated different? Is the way it's played slightly different? Yeah, sure. But is it worse? Well, no. I mean, by an objective measure, it's better. By a subjective measure, as far as play style, it's like yearning for the big man post-up day in the NBA. Okay, you could prefer that style of play, fine. Or you could prefer the 3 yards in a cloud of dust style of play of the NFL, fine. But is it better? Are the players better now? I mean, yeah, the players are better now. Of course they are. That's common sense. Is it Javian in Mississippi? I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. What's going on? Xavian in Mississippi. What's up?
Yes, how you doing? I would like to say that the football has got soft, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I say because it is for defensive players, because you can barely touch a player and it's a flag or anything. Like I seen Jamal Adams. He can't play how he wants to play. And Ray Lewis or someone want to be able to play right away. As far as the numbers and the drills you get, the more high-scoring games you get to, more, drills.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying before. Is it softer? Yes, it is softer. I mean, by necessity. I just like the word soft. When you say soft, it has a negative connotation. That wouldn't be my chosen word. Because soft implies like you're, you know, taking your ball and going home. You're soft. That's not the case here. It wasn't because these people didn't have courage or conviction or anything like that. It's because the NFL was dealing with, you know, crazy lawsuits about head injuries. The public is more informed about the dangers of football. So the NFL had to legislate some changes to make the game safer. You're never going to make it safe, but safer. Again, seatbelts make car crashes safer. They don't make car crashes safe. But that's, you know, a necessary byproduct. And then you combine that with the strategic evolution where people have found out, oh, yeah, you know, this passing thing, it seems to work. You know, when I can move the ball this far through the air, rather than trying to get 3 yards at a time, that can work. Oh, you mean like spreading out the field and getting my best players the ball in space works? Oh, who knew? Or, you know, oh, the quarterback's the most important player. Maybe the ball should be in his hands more. Who knew? I mean, it's all common sense stuff, right? You know, using more square footage of the field is going to make you better. So you combine the strategic evolution with the safety implementation, and you have the way that the game is played today. Does that make it soft? That's not the word I would use. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. You know, it wasn't that long ago I said something on this show that really upset Anthony. It was something I said about Shohei Ohtani, and he was aggravated. I think he just had a bad mood. He didn't sleep well the night before or something. He was
just because you say something doesn't make it true.
Okay. But I now have support for the statement that I made in the form of an all-time great baseball player. Or at least, you know.
All-time great?
Yeah, great baseball player. How about that? He's a great player. All-time great, maybe I'm going a little far, but he's a great.
Yeah, you're going
great,
a little far.
A great baseball player. Would you say great?
Yeah.
Okay, a great baseball player has backed up. See, Anthony just has to continue to have a problem with this statement. Has backed up the statement I made on this show. I'll tell you what that statement was and who agrees with me coming up.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And I'm going to get to you guys on the line at 855-212-4227 in just a second. But I got to pay off the tease. Anthony, did you take umbrage with me referring to CC Sabathia as an all-time great baseball player just because he had, you know, some of his biggest moments on the Yankees?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that weighed in. Like, oh, maybe all-time great is a little strong. But, I mean, dude is a Cy Young winner, World Series winner, an ALCS MVP, a six-time All-Star. I mean, he's a great player, right? He was a great player, no? Right? Like a great pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I said that before the break. I did say great, yeah.
I begrudgingly.
I thought we had been down that road, yes.
Begrudgingly great. So, Anthony had a problem, I don't know how many weeks back it was, when I stated that Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player ever. And I said that because, I mean, you looked at the precedent of what he is doing, there is none. I mean, no one has, in the modern era especially, but even beyond like Babe Ruth, pitched and hit the way Ohtani has done. And, you know, he'd need more innings pitched to qualify, but his numbers aren't that far off of what a Cy Young-type pitcher would do. His strikeout rate is excellent. And then you factor in the fact that he hit 45 home runs this year. So all things considered, I don't know if anyone has ever played baseball at a higher level. Now, will that be sustained? I don't know. Pitching is very fickle. I mean, you could make the argument that he could, you know, people have made the argument that he should focus more on hitting, or maybe you use him in a relief role, whatever the case may be. But this is a special season that Shohei Ohtani is about to complete, really unlike anything we've ever seen before. You know, he's run the bases fairly. Got caught stealing a few times, but more than you'd like, a few times more than you'd like, but he still stole 24 bases this year as well. 24 stolen bases, 45 home runs, and an ERA of 3.28 in 123 innings. So, I mean, it's just pretty special what the guy has done. He's also striking out over 10 batters, almost 11 batters per nine innings. So that strikeout rate is way up there. I mean, I guess his batting average could improve if we're nitpicking, but his OPS is up there. He leads the majors in wins over replacement player, total wins over replacement player when you factor in all that. So he's had a truly, truly special season. I had said that, to be fully honest, I'd known that CC Sabathia had said that when I first said it. So I wasn't the first person to say it. I think CC Sabathia was actually the first person I heard say it. And I talked to him for Sports Illustrated this week, and I just asked him, you know, to sort of clarify that thing, because you hear this guy is the best baseball player ever, and it feels like hyperbole. So I asked CC to clarify why he would call Shohei Ohtani the best player ever.
So for those who can't quite wrap their head around why you would make a statement, can you elaborate a little bit on why you would consider Shohei the best baseball player ever?
He is. He's the best baseball player to ever play. I mean, there's nobody that can do what he does. You know, I mean, and I think people love to compare, you know, Babe Ruth and whatever he did back in the day, but it's not even close because he was hitting more homers than whole teams. Like, you know, so it wasn't even a fair playing field at the time. Like, Ohtani's playing at a time when the guys that are the biggest, the fastest, the strongest they've ever been in the league, and he is the best player on the planet. Like, he, you know, he throws the ball the fastest. He can go out there and throw eight innings and give you 10 strikeouts, and he can go out the next night and hit four home runs in the game and, you know, have the highest exit velo and hit the ball the furthest than anybody's ever seen in the StatCast era. So, yeah, I mean, I seen him play one inning of one game live, and I made that statement.
So, Anthony, how do you feel about the statement now after I've made it, after you've heard CC back it up, after the season that Shohei has had?
Dude, it's been a great season, and no one's disputing that. No one's saying that the guy's trash. I'm just not willing to go out on and say right now that he's the best baseball player of all time.
Well, there's a difference between best and greatest. You know, like, it's semantics. It's word tricks. He's not the greatest ever. Far from it. You know, he's got years and years and years and years and years before he could ever sniff that conversation. But the best, has anyone ever been better than Shohei was this year? That's the argument that myself and Mr. Sabathia are making. We'll get a little bit more into baseball at the top of the hour. The wild card race is certainly interesting out of the AL East. Some fans in New York and Boston and Toronto may be interested in that. But right now, let's go to David in Dallas. David, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, David?
Hey, Robin. So I do believe the NFL has been soft, and in the words of the immortal Black Mamba, soft as Charmin in a lot of ways. Now, let me say this. Opening up and using sideline to sideline, I don't consider that to be soft. Spreading out the defense, I don't consider that to be soft. However, a lot of this pass interference, oh, my God, this guy's elbow touched the other guy's elbow. Let's go ahead and throw a flag. First down on the 17-yard line. Now it's like, just go ahead and just throw the ball down the field. Literally, you'll hear an announcer say this. Hey, maybe you get a pass interference flag. They're so common that you don't even have to have a decent receiver. He doesn't even have to try to make a play on the ball. Just throw it out there, and you'll get a flag. Second of all, I'm actually a Brady fan. In a lot of ways, I really, really have always liked the guy. But if you remember, there was a game a few years after he came back, and somebody fell near his leg, and he looked to the referee and pointed. They threw the flag. They didn't even were going to throw it initially. He asked for the flag. He got the flag. And I know you're a big NBA fan, but this reminds me a lot of the NBA stuff where, you know, a player looks at the referee or whatever and asks for the foul and gets it called. I'm sorry, but, you know, like you were saying, it's in real time. A lot of this targeting and stuff, these guys, are going faster than ever, just like with CeCe Sabathia, you talk about with the baseball players. The football players, they're bigger than ever, faster than ever. And you're asking people to referee something, to me, that's almost impossible to referee. So, yes, the kill shot should be gone. Anything that's really terrible should be gone. But, you know,
I see what you're saying. Look, and there's some truth to what you're saying. Like, I'm with you on pass interference. Like, sometimes it's just like – it's my problem with pass interference is it's too devastating a penalty to be enforced as the way it is. You know, like, because you throw an 80-yard bomb and it's a spot of foul and, you know, there's barely any contact, but you say it's pass interference and then it's an 80-yard pickup. That's just devastating and doesn't feel right, doesn't feel just. So I'm not saying there aren't things that I would change or things that bug me. It's just the overall, I wouldn't say soft, because soft has such a negative connotation, and I think the game has evolved in many ways. And much of the changes, I think, have been made, you know, with safety in mind, which I can't get too upset about. But yes, that specific example, I would agree with. In the NBA, I mean, I hate, and they said they're going to try and change this going into this year, which would be huge. I hate the way jump shooters are officiated. I mean, that is salt. You can't – the defense can't guard. If you're going to call a foul, if the player jumps into the defender or falls down on a jump shot. So I do think, you know, the NBA could stand to officiate the game the kind of the way FIBA does. So I'm not saying these things are flawless. I just feel like sometimes people harp on them a little extra or try to use them to act like some time in the past was better when the level of play and the level of player is better now. Let's go to Tony in West Virginia. Tony, you're up next on the show. What's going on?
Hey, man, what's going on? So if I could make two quick points about this and I'll get out your way. What ticks me off the most is, like, the hypocrisy in Brady's words. What he's saying is, you know, like you said, the verbiage that he's using is soft. And I seen that interview. The thing that I can't quite figure out is, you know, you're not just benefiting from these new rule changes, but you yourself are exploiting them. As a Ravens fan, I've seen countless games where Haloti Ngata, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, in live action, put a clean hit, a clean football hit on him. And the first thing that he does is not just look to the official, but starts chewing out the official, starts bickering with, you know, the defenders and you know, acting like a child on the field. And it's like, you know, there's no place for that sort of behavior in football. And this new culture that you're somewhat speaking down to when you use a negative, you know, verbiage like soft, it's like, you know, you're a part of it. You're exploiting it because in the name of player safety, the league is trying to protect certain players, because if it was really about safety, it would be more consistent all the way around. You know, now they're doing it where if any quarterback gets touched, yeah, they're completely getting out of hand. But the first 3 to 4 years of this new roughing the passer era, where you can't even look at them the wrong way, they were really only giving it to certain quarterbacks, you know, trying to protect and promote the ones that were bringing in the money and flooding the air.
Well, I think quarterbacks in general – it's not like a specific one, but I think quarterbacks in general. But, you know, when you talk about the Brady aspect of it, I agree with you. It is hypocritical for Brady. One, because he benefits so much from the calls. Two, because, let's be frank, would he still be playing at the level that he's playing at if he could get blasted the way you could have in a different era? I don't know. I think it allows him to thrive. And that's a good thing. He's the greatest of all time. I'm not dissing him in any way, shape, or form. But he's able to sit back there, and he gets rid of the ball very quickly, which is another reason he doesn't get hit, by the way, to credit him. But Tom Brady, all like this, he can do it at 45 years old, and he's still so good. I don't know if we'd be saying that if it wasn't quote-unquote soft.
Right. Well, you know, another thing is this. I know it might seem far-fetched, but, you know, Brady's always trying to promote his brand. And, you know, when you're trying to advertise a certain image and a certain persona, you play on the mind, you play on the subconscious mind of the viewers, and he may be trying to usher in the idea that he's a part of the old school era when he speaks to the game not being the same anymore. And it's almost like he's expressing, you know, a desire for football to be what it once was. And it kind of speaks to younger fans as to say, you know, Brady's great because he's also doing well in today's football. But he come because he played for so long. He was also a tough guy, and he's not tough. He's not a Brett Favre. He's not a Ben Roethlisberger. He's, you know, those other Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are not as great as he was because they weren't as successful. But it's almost as if Brady's also trying to promote the idea that he's tough because he would want the game to be physical when really he doesn't.
Well, yeah, look, I won't sit here from my position and say anybody in the NFL is not tough. I just won't do it. But there are really two athletes that we're looking at who have had such a longevity, LeBron and Brady, where they've played in multiple eras because Brady has played in a different era and has played in this era. Like, he has. It was funny, like, Rasheed Wallace, I think it was the other day, said, oh, LeBron wouldn't have had as much success in my era. I was like, dude, he played in your era. What are you talking about? He scored, like, 29 straight against you guys. So, like, that is a testament to Brady's greatness. Any time you could play that long where you can go through multiple eras. But part of the reason that Brady is still playing is because the NFL is softer. So it is a little rich coming from him. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Told you we'd get into a little baseball at the top of the hour. Red Sox and Yankees. You know, I've heard that might be a bit of a rivalry, but it also could be deciding a playoff spot. We're getting there. I know the baseball season is long. We're getting towards the end there. How's it going to shake out? And am I and CC Sabathia right in calling Shohei Ohtani the best baseball player ever? We'll get you some answers coming up. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.